seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and verse 23. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. The dear Apostle Paul was given a wonderful anointing on each occasion that he was called to speak before the rulers and the kings and those he was brought before, and especially to preach the dear Lord Jesus. Now, as he stood up before the rulers and the synagogue, we find the dear man leading them back over the wonderful way in which the Lord had led his dear children through the ages. And we read, then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exhorted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it." He goes right back to the wonderful way in which the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And all this was leading up to the coming of the glorious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And then we find how they were in that wilderness for 40 years. And suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And then what he did in the land of Canaan for the children of Israel to enter into it. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. It's very wonderful to look back, you know, and to see how the Lord wonderfully went before his dear people, how he provided for them, and how in his sovereignty he used different means for their soul's teaching and profit. And then he says, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And then he comes to dear David. And when he had removed him, that was Saul, you know, it's very searching when we think of how the people were so dissatisfied, and yet they sought a king, and God gave them Saul in his wrath. And we read that he took him away in his anger. You see, they got impatient. And I often think what a lesson that is, you see. They were not willing to wait God's time in a thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see the Lord's timing in things and to wait for him to appear. You see, the Lord had promised he would raise them up a king, but you see, they couldn't wait the Lord's time, but the Lord granted them their request. But he brought bondage and solemn dealings upon the land, and for those 40 years, the things were of God were in a very low ebb. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. And what a wonderful thing the Lord spoke through the apostle here to follow it. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You know, there was no king in the sight of God like his servant David. We know David was a poor sinner. We know he fell in the hour of temptation. But in his heart, David was one of God's choice children. And he was esteemed by the Lord the greatest of kings. Except for the Lord Jesus. And so we find this wonderful line of pattern, how the Lord worked. And then we find our text. Of this man's seed, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. Now I want us help just briefly to look a little at this word. First of all, of this man's seed. If you go to Matthew's Gospel, the beginning of the New Testament tells us this. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now that's how the New Testament starts. The Lord goes back to how Jesus was the son of David and then the son of Abraham. The blessed lineage of Christ. It's wonderful, you know, you can read it in God's word. And how through this man's seed, that is David's seed, hath God according to his promise raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. Now, what was particularly rested upon me in thinking of this service was this. How, first of all, the Lord was to fulfill his promise that he would send his beloved son. You look right through the Old Testament how wonderfully the Lord promised that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and he should bruise his heel. And all the way through the Old Testament, those glorious promises concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. And look in our own hearts. Have we got a promise that we long for the Lord to fulfill? A promise concerning our own souls? A promise concerning the future? A promise concerning our children and grandchildren? A promise concerning God's house? Those sacred promises the Lord gives to his children. And here he promised Israel he would raise up a king, which he did David. He promised Israel that he would send his beloved son into this earth. And look how wonderfully fulfilled every jot and every tittle of those sweet promises. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, not what man had promised, but what God had promised. We think of the day of Noah, when the flood subsided from the earth. What did the Lord say? That, well, two things really, of paramount importance. First, that he would not flood the earth again. And he said, behold, I have set my bow in the cloud. And you think, I was looking at it only this week, the wonderful bows that have been in the cloud, the promise of God. But what was particularly with me regarding this was that wonderful promise too, that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, shall not cease while the earth remaineth. And you think how wonderfully the Lord has fulfilled those sweet promises. And as he fulfills them, so he will fulfill the promises that he gives to his dear people. Oh, he will. You can think of it concerning dear Abraham, that I often mention, how the Lord fulfilled what he promised Abraham. As he looked into the starry heaven, so shall thy seed be. And the Lord fulfilled it in every jot and tittle, didn't he? Gave him Isaac in God's time. There again, go back to what I said earlier. The need of patience to wait the Lord's time. And that's what Israel needed concerning the coming of David as king, and what they needed throughout the Old Testament of promise, the need of patience to wait for the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, the second thing that was with me is this, to his promise raised unto Israel. This raising up of Christ, and I want to look at it in two ways, and then to look at it in our own souls. You think how wonderfully God brought into this earth his beloved son. He raised up Jesus, born in Bethlehem's manger, a virgin birth. She knew no man. The Holy Spirit came upon her. The precious child she was to deliver was the son of David. David's greater son, the dear Redeemer. And how God raised him up to be a deliverer of his dear people. And you think of the wonderful testimony we have in the Gospels of the birth of Christ. How God raised him for Israel, that is, for his dear redeemed children, to suffer, bleed and die for them. Our text says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel. Oh, you think of the joy there was in the heart of dear Simeon when they brought in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. The joy there was in that dear man's heart, the fulfillment of the promise the Lord promised him he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And how God had raised up this precious Jesus as his Saviour, Simeon's Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. And well could he take him up in his arms and bless God and say, Lord, now lettest thou thine servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That is the first raising up. And then you think too of the joy there was in the heart of Anna, the prophetess. The joy there was in the hearts of the shepherds abiding in the field. The joy there was in the heart of the wise men that God had raised up this dear Jesus. But then the second raising up I would like to just hint at this afternoon is this. And it's rested much upon me the last few days, how he raised the dear Redeemer from the grave, how he was crucified and laid in the tomb. We read this, whom God raised up the third day by his mighty power. And oh, you think of the joy there was as God raised the precious Son of God up on that resurrection morn. Look at the joy there was in the hearts of the disciples. There again, go back to the promise. You know, these things are all dovetailed, really. You think of what Jesus said to the dear disciples when he was to leave them to go to Calvary. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. It looked impossible that there would ever be a day of joy that no man should take from them when the Saviour lay dead in the tomb. He looked an impossibility, didn't he? But the promise was to be fulfilled. And you think of the joy there was in the hearts of those dear disciples. They couldn't contain the joy, could they? And I'll go as far as to say, poor soul, if the Lord appear to you like he did those dear disciples, like he did to Mary Magdalene, those dear women, the joy in your soul no man can take from you. You'll just be full of it. The real joy of heaven begun below. And so he raised up Jesus, who for his dear redeemed children, our text speaks of Israel, and that means all the elect children of God. Raised unto Israel, a Saviour, Jesus. Oh, you think how sweet that was as the apostle was enabled to deliver this to those that, as we read in the lesson, that feared God. He says, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. And you think today in your soul, it's come right home to our own souls here. Let me come low to begin. Do you desire? Do I? The Lord is the witness. To have that sweet assurance that the Saviour was raised for us. You think to come into this world, first of all, to suffer, to bleed and die for his dear children. Oh, do you know what it is to bless God that he sent his beloved son? He raised him, a little babe of Bethlehem, King of kings and Lord of lords, for poor needy sinners. And then think of all that he accomplished in suffering, bleeding, dying at Calvary, and was laid in the tomb, whom God raised up. Now, what was with me particularly in this, to bring it home to our own souls? Are you in need, and am I today, for the Lord to raise you up? Who needs raising up? It's those that are in the depths. It's those that are in the midst of sorrow, the midst of darkness. You think how many times dear David in the Psalms was in the depths, but what did the Lord do? He raised him up. He didn't leave him to perish, did he? You think of the times where Saul sought his life and David hid from Saul in the caves, hid from all the onslaughts of the enemies. And you look how God raised him up out of those depths. I love those words, what he said. I think it's Psalm 142, isn't it? Bring my soul, dear David says, out of prison, and I shall praise thy name. Bring my soul out of prison. In other words, Lord, raise me up. And then in times of affliction, how many in the depths of affliction has God raised up? Well, we have the proof of it in God's word. The woman with the issue of blood, Simon Peter's wife's mother. So many that were tempted by Satan and cast right into the fire and into the water. But what did the Lord do? He raised them up. There's a good prayer, you know, in one of our hymns, isn't it? And may it be our prayer. It will be if you're in the depths. Raise my soul above the ground. Oh, the Lord has power, you see. As he raised up Jesus, bringing him into this earth, born of a woman, born under the law, and then raised him up on that resurrection morn from the powers of death and overcame the grave, to deliver his dear children. I wish I could put into words really how sweet this word has been to me the last few days. Of this man's seed, dear David's seed, God's choice king of Israel, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel who? A saviour. We sing, don't we? Jesus is a mighty saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. Is he your saviour? Is he my saviour? Do we desire him to be our saviour? You think of when the angel Gabriel announced the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, the birth of Christ. He said to dear Mary, his mother, the Gabriel said to her, His name shall be called Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. A Saviour, Jesus. Oh, how lovingly the dear apostle sweetly speaks of the dear Redeemer. Oh, the language of it will be music to the ears of sin-sick sinners. Here is one that's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And if you this afternoon, poor soul, feel an uttermost sinner, let me tell you, here is an uttermost Saviour. A Saviour. One that can save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, Jesus. Well, then in conclusion, it's a precious name, isn't it? This name of Jesus. We sing in the hymn, don't we? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Who to? In a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It's not a precious name to the world or to the ungodly, is it? But it's a precious name to believers. Oh, it is. A name just suited to their case. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No other could save them, could they? But he can. And he saves uttermost sinners. I must leave it. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel. Oh, may we be among that precious Israel that's spoken of here, a Saviour, Jesus. Well, may the Lord sweetly apply the text, if nothing that I've rambled round this afternoon, and may we know more and more of his preciousness, more and more of his suitability, more and more of him being the one thing that is needful. And if we are favoured like that, we shall be humbled in the dust. You have to say, Lord, why me? Why me? Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.